I'd like to share with you today a few thoughts on how to manage your time for evangelism and discipleship of young people. You know, time is a gift of God. It's a created thing, just like the universe was created, just like things that we touch and feel are created. And we are to be stewards of this thing that God has given us, just like we're to be stewards of our money, stewards of our possessions, stewards of the earth that we live on. And so we need to be very aware that this is God's time we're spending and not our own. We don't have any right to it. God has given it to us as a gift. And you know, another thing that might help in thinking about time and what it is, I like to think of time as a fixed unit, a fixed entity, just like space is fixed, you know, like a distance from, let's say, Miami to Portland, Oregon is a fixed distance. So this time span that we are on, my life from this day until the time I die, is a fixed thing. That time is fixed. And I need to be very aware of how I'm going to spend my time in getting from this point to the end of my life. Now, in knowing where you're going to go from one point to the next, you got to have a plan. You got to have a strategy. You got to know where you're going and where you want to end up. Just like if you were to take that trip from Miami to Portland, Oregon, you would have to, say, establish first, Portland is where I'd like to end up. This is where I'd like to be. And then you'd have to decide in your own mind how I'm going to go about getting there. What route am I going to take? Am I going to go south? Am I going to go north? Am I going to go a direct route? Am I going to go the scenic route? And when am I going to get there? How much time is it going to take me to get there? So in the same way, as we travel across this fixed dimension of time, you need to have a plan of where you're going. So the first thing I'd like to suggest is to develop an overall goals and philosophy of your life and ministry. Where is your life going? What is it counting for? How are you going to spend your time? May I suggest a few things that you need to develop in this overall philosophy and goals of life and ministry? First off, you need to put this down in writing. Don't just think about it, but put it down in writing. Don't just do it in an hour or 2 hours. Do it, maybe take a full day to work on this and then put it away for about a month and think about it. Do some reading on this. Search the scriptures. Do a lot of prayer and considering where your life is going. You might break it down into several different areas of your life. As a man named Augsburger has suggested, you must first be a person, then a partner, then a parent, and last of all, a professional in whatever your profession may be. If you're a minister, your ministry is your last thing that you really need to work on. If you're a student, being a student is not the most important thing in your life. If you are an insurance salesman, being an insurance salesman is not the most important priority in your life. So let's say work on your person first, and you might have a subheading in your outline on my philosophy and goals of life and ministry is my personal area. And some of the things you would like to put down in this thing is your goals for establishing in your personal area would be your spiritual and devotional development. How much time am I going to spend in prayer and Bible study every day? A scripture meditation, what am I going to do in that area? Physical development, how much sleep do I need every night? How much exercise and when am I going to do it? What should I be eating? How should I be taking care of my body? Your intellectual and secular development, what should I be reading? I need to read in different fields, not just the Bible, but need to understand what is going on in the world around me. Perhaps there's a hobby that you need to develop, your avocational development, you might say. Do you like carpentry? What are you going to do to develop that hobby? If this is, you feel like, one of your personal development. Perhaps the outdoors or skiing or something like that. What are your goals in this area? And then just developing yourself as a practical minister, maybe some things that you just need to, some reading you would like to do in these areas. And one thing in your personal development you always need to be aware of, and that is your relaxation time, your time off, your vacation time, how to best spend your relaxation time. The next thing in your outline of philosophy of goals and goals of life and ministry is your area of your family, establishing yourself as a husband. How can I be my best husband to my wife? or establishing yourself as a parent. How much time do I need to spend with my son or daughter? What are we going to do in those times? What day of the week are we going to spend together? What hours of the week? And establishing yourself as the head of the household and providing for the needs of your family and taking care of their physical needs and spiritual and emotional needs. And last off, you'll want to set some goals for your ministry. Where is your ministry going? What is it going to do? What are your priorities and how you're going to do that? So I would suggest you get this philosophy and goals of life and ministry, put it down in paper, write it out, get it typed up, and put it somewhere that you can review it periodically to see how each day is going to fulfilling your philosophy and goals of life and ministry. Now, perhaps once a year you might want to sit down and look over this philosophy and goals and just to reevaluate, has God been changing these goals in my life? Have I missed His will on some of these things? And where do I need to change them? Also, in these goals and philosophy, you need to be very specific about what you're going to do. Let's say you want to develop the area of your knowledge of current events. What do you need to do that? Well, perhaps you need to read a current events magazine, Time or Newsweek, U.S. News and World Report. Perhaps you need to be reading once a month, perhaps the bestseller on the nonfiction list. You need to go hear political speeches. You need to be aware of what's going on in the community. So you want to be specific about these things and exactly what time and where you're going to do this. Same thing with your family. You have a goal for spending quality time with your family. Okay, what time are you going to spend that quality time? When is it going to be? Where is it going to be? And how are you going to spend it? So be very specific in every one of these areas of what you want to accomplish each month or each week or throughout this next year. Okay, so you established this. You've got down your philosophy and goals of life and ministry. I would suggest the next thing is to once a month set aside an entire day for prayer and for planning. I might even suggest that you choose that day to fast and to fix your mind totally on the Lord and what He wants you to do with your life over that next month and next several months. You need to put this day into your schedule. If you are able to schedule your time easily enough by yourself, then you might want to pick out a weekday when there's not going to be too many other things going. If you're a student, it'd be hard to choose a weekday, maybe a Saturday a month. If you're a businessman that has regular office hours Monday through Friday, then you perhaps will need to also schedule a Saturday to get away and to sit down and spend some time in prayer and planning over for your next month. I would suggest that you do get away. Don't try to spend it around the office. Don't try to spend it at home, but even go out of town. Perhaps I like to go up to a state park. And I'll just park my car there and sit on one of the picnic tables and spend the whole day just praying and planning. I'll carry my notes with me, some of my files, some books I need to refer to as I'm planning maybe Bible studies and things like that. But I need to totally get away to be just with the Lord. Okay, so you spend this time once a month in planning and prayer, and where do you go from there? Well, each week you also need to spend time in establishing your goals and your priorities and how you're going to spend your time during that week. I would suggest that you do this planning for the week on Friday of the week before. Sit down, have an hour maybe, a half an hour of time blocked off, and write all on a list, just make a list of all the potential activities that you could do this next week and that you have to do. Some that are required, some that are possibilities, such as I'm leading a Bible study on Tuesday night, so I need to prepare for that. The best time to prepare for that may be Monday morning. I have church to go to on Wednesday night, so you need to put that down there, attending church. Evangelistic visitation, Thursday night, you need to put that down there. Perhaps you're a student and you need to spend 12 hours of study, so you need to put down 12 hours of study. Perhaps as a businessman, you need to put down how you're going to spend your time at your office or maybe even some evenings you're going to have to spend at work. But to have all these things down, including the time for your own personal prayer, your own quiet time, your time with your family, and also the time with your goals in the ministry that you're doing, whether it's leading a Reach Out family, discipleship group, or evangelistic visitation, whatever it might be, you need to have these things scheduled of where you're going to spend your time during that next week. Then you look at this list and you go back and you say, now what are the most important things I can do? Now remember, the most important things are not necessarily the most urgent things. Perhaps you have a big Bible study you're going to be leading 3 weeks from next week. And it is a top priority item. It is a time when you're getting together your disciples and you want to spend some good time with them and you want to really teach them the Word. Well, perhaps this week would be the week to really start getting into the Word and seeking what God would like you to do. So put that down as what we call an A priority. You have A, B, and C priority. A priority are the most important things that you need to do. So you have your A priorities. Go through your whole list and see what's the most important thing for establishing these goals that I've set for myself of my life and my ministry. All right, preparing Bible study. Spending some time with a disciple, with one of the high school kids. That could be an A priority, that you're going to spend maybe an hour with this guy after school on Tuesday afternoon. That should be an A priority, or perhaps will be an A priority. Spending time with your family, an A priority. I can't set these priorities for you, but you do need to consider what are the top priorities in your life. And each week you'll go through and you put A next to everything that is that you consider the most important. Then go back through the list and the ones that are left that are pretty important but not the most important, put B priority. And you say, this is a B priority. It's important, but it's not the best thing, not the most important thing for me to do, so this is a B priority. And then finally, your C priorities and things that would be good to do, but you don't have to do them. And so you go through your list and you put C's by those. Then you look at your week of your calendar, and you start seeing, now, let me see how I can fit these A priorities in. Where will I fit them in next week in my schedule? Okay? Also, you might want to put your A priorities at your prime time. If you're a morning person, which most people are, that your best time to work, let's say studying the Word, would be in the morning from maybe, say, the hours of 8 to 10 o'clock or something like that. So you put the times when you're studying and preparing for Bible studies during that time, your prime time. Maybe the best time to meet with kids is late at night, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, right after school, 4 or 5 o'clock, something like that. So you want those times, even though they're A priorities, maybe a good time to meet with kids would be after school. But go through your week and fill in the blocks of time on a schedule. You need to have a weekly schedule sheet, something that would have, like, across the top, it could say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then down the side it can have the hours of the day, maybe starting at 6, 7 o'clock through 10 o'clock at night, and have a blocks of time, and you fill these blocks of time in on Friday afternoon. Now perhaps you would not want to go ahead and fill in the whole week, and that's fine. Maybe you just want to fill in Monday and Tuesday and see how things are going and what else is going to come up and what might be a more important priority. But you do need to spend that time planning your next week and what you're going to be doing. Now the next thing you need to do is spend time in planning each and every day the day before. You need to review this weekly plan that you've already established for yourself. And every afternoon I would suggest, if you work in an office, before you leave the office, if you're a student, maybe before you go to supper or something like that, but in the afternoon to review what you're going to be doing tomorrow. It'll take just 5 minutes of your time, but this will be the most important 5 minutes that you could spend any time during the day, is planning the next day. If there's any one thing that you do from what I'm sharing on this tape, I would suggest you do this. Spend 5 to 10 minutes every day planning your next day. Fill in every hour segment with something that needs to be done in your priorities. And look at your priorities, where you want to go, and how you're going to spend your time the next day. So let's say 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you sit down, you look at your schedule, and you say, okay, I need to do this Bible study first thing in the morning. So 8 to 10 o'clock, Bible study. Then when you get back to your time, wherever you're going to do this study, you know that's what you're going to do, and you sit down to do it. You don't wonder, now what should I do today? You've already got it set, what you're going to do today. You look at your schedule, and you say, I need to get an appointment with with this disciple of mine, John, I really need to spend some time with him, so I better get on the phone right now and call him up. John, can we spend some time tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock? How about it? Sure, I'd be glad to do that. Okay, so you've got this time, you've got your schedule set for tomorrow, you've got your appointment set that you need to do, so you've got your schedule down. Remember, every day to work on your schedule for the following day. You might, it would be good to at least include 1 hour in the following day of what we call uncommitted time. There's nothing that you have planned, and this is for unexpected emergencies, which will happen. Let's say you have working on your Bible study at 11 o'clock in the morning, and you got that scheduled, and your wife calls, and her car is broken down somewhere on the other side of town. Okay, this is going to be a top priority that you're going to need to take care of, because she just needs to, you know, to get around. So you just drop your Bible study right there, run over, take care of her. Takes you an hour to get the car going and get back home. But you look down your schedule, and at between 3 and 4, you didn't have anything scheduled. So you just kind of shift your whole day back, or maybe you pick up your Bible study at that time. But have a segment of uncommitted time in there. One thing that will really help your days and your weeks and your months is to establish some habits and routines. There is nothing better for spending your time efficiently than to have regular habits of what you're going to do. For example, every day you have the basic same schedule. Let's say when you get up. You get up, maybe you go out and jog, you take a shower, you have breakfast, then you spend your quiet time, then you spend some time reading. You know, this is every day, this is your schedule. Every week you spend Tuesday mornings, let's say, in Bible study, preparing for your Thursday night Bible study. This is every week you have this schedule. Every week you spend a certain afternoons with appointments with kids, and the schedule is every week, and you get in the habit of doing this. You want to establish these habits and routines. Establish a habit and routine with your family, such as Tuesday at lunchtime. That's the time I have lunch with my wife, every Tuesday. So you want to, that is a sacred time. It is on the schedule, and it is a routine and a habitual thing that you do. Don't always think of habits as being bad. You can develop very good habits of spending the same time each week doing the same activities, and it'll help you spend your time much, much more efficiently. Now, I would like to suggest a few very practical things of how to make the most of God's time as you spend it. One thing that's going to be very important to the efficient use of your time, and that is your physical condition. Are you overweight? Does it slow you down? Are you getting enough sleep? Are you getting enough food, enough nourishment? Are you getting enough relaxation? If not, that is going, the time you do spend, let's say, in Bible study or studying is not going to be worth it because you're not the efficient person you need to be. So check your physical weaknesses and take care of them. Another thing that you can do in helping make the most of the time is that is to prevent job hopping. In other words, you go down and sit down on your desk and you say, oh, there's a letter I need to write. So you write this letter and then, oh, this guy called, I need to call him back. And then you say, oh, let me call this guy and set up an appointment. And let me spend, I need to spend some time in Bible study. So if you sit down and you spend 15 minutes in Bible study, ooh, I better call this guy. So you think of that and then you do that. Well, cluster your activities together. In other words, all your letter writing, perhaps you could do every 2 or 3 days or maybe even every week and spend 1 hour writing letters. Perhaps your phone calls, just take the messages or have a secretary take the messages if you have a secretary, or just think how many phone calls you've got to make, who you got to call, and do all your phone calling at one sitting. Just sit down and just get the dialing on that phone. I have a real hard time making phone calls, and this is the best way I can do it. Once I get rolling, I can really move, and I can make a lot of phone calls at one sitting. But I have to cluster them together. You also want to cluster your errands together. Let's say you have to run down to the photography store. Then you've got to go pick up a hamburger, and then you got to go home and eat. Well, figure out these things, your errands to run in a clustered type situation. Where are you going to, you know, if you got to be out in your car, well, let's just do everything at one time rather than do one thing, come back to the office, work 20 minutes, go back out, come back to the office, work an hour, come back out, etc. Try to cluster your time together.
Another thing that's very helpful in the use of your time is delegating the responsibilities and authorities. Always ask your question, can someone else do this job I'm doing? If you have a secretary, maybe a secretary could do some things for you. If you're a student in school and you're working with high school students, if you're a college student, you're working with high school students, and maybe you just need a kid to somebody to run over and pick up some cookies and potato chips for a meeting you're going to have that evening. Well, maybe you could just say, look, Doug, could you go pick these things up for me and bring me the bill on it, and I'll pay you back tonight. It'll take you about 2 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes on a phone call. It'll take you 20, 30 minutes maybe to run over to the store, pick the stuff out, and take it over there. So delegate responsibilities and give these responsibilities to your disciples. It'll be helping them too. One thing you need to do is consider that all time is on. You don't have any time off. Even your leisure time, consider it's on, and that you're making the most of that time. And perhaps the best way to use your leisure time is, you know, just playing with your kid out in the backyard, or spend some time talking to your family or whatever. But that is quality time. It's on time that you use. Give up waiting time forever. Perhaps you could spend some time reading, let's say, as you're waiting in the doctor's office. Take not just the magazines there, unless that's what you want to spend your time doing, but carry along a little paperback book that you want to read, or a news magazine that you had planning on reading, and just read it at that time. Use your transition time. In other words, you're going from one job to the other, or just times. Let's say for you guys, you know that you're shaving in the morning. Perhaps you can use that time to memorize some scripture, tape some scripture up on the mirror or something like that, and just memorize it. Or while you're eating breakfast, spend some time memorizing or looking over some notes or something like that. Riding in the car. Boy, we spend an awful lot of time in the car these days, especially people who live in big metropolitan areas that it's a long ways from one place to the other. Take along a tape recorder, a battery-operated tape recorder, and get us some cassette tapes and listen to these. And you can listen to messages from some of the most spiritual men in the entire world while you're riding in your car. And so listen to those. Sometimes when I go on a long trip, I'll take some tapes, and I'll even dictate letters while I'm driving. You can do that and spend some time, your time doing that. Or also, while you're driving somewhere, always take somebody with you if you can. If it's not just a short trip or something like that, if you can plan ahead on it, take one of your disciples, the people that you're really working with, and say, just come along with me. I'd like to talk to you. I've got to run some errands. Could you come along and we can just kind of talk? So you can spend some time discipling while you're making the most of your time. You're using your time twice. So just to kind of sum up, you always need to remember that you always have time to do the most important things. There is nothing that is important that you do not have time to do. I'd just like to quote something that meant something to me. Every 24 hours you spend are 24 hours we've never lived before, and 24 hours we shall never live again. So make the most of those 24 hours. I would like to recommend just a few things, a few books that you could read, or booklets that would help you in planning your time if you want to investigate this a little more. One of them is just a tiny pamphlet put out by InterVarsity Press by a guy named Hummel named Tyranny of the Urgent. Very good on that. Another one in helping manage your personal time is by Engstrom and McKenzie called Managing Your Time, and it's put out by Zondervan. Another one by Flynn, How to Save Time in the Ministry, put out by Broadman, and there's a couple chapters in Oswald Sanders' book, Spiritual Leadership, put out by Moody Press, that is very helpful on managing your time. Also, Youth Specialties out of San Diego, California, has a tape on time management, which is very good. So use these resources. Always review how you can most efficiently use your time. Spend time each day planning your next day. Spend time once a month reviewing and seeing what the Lord wants you to do during that month and over the next several months. These are things that will help you spend your time more efficiently for evangelism and discipleship.